Earlier this week, as I was preparing this sermon and reading through the gospel text, I was reminded of the movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou? And some of you know this movie, right? It is the story of three convicts, Everett, the leader, who's played by George Clooney, hot-tempered Pete, and slow-witted Delmar. There's always a slow-witted Delmar somewhere. The men escape the law while working on a chain gang in Depression-era Mississippi. At one point, they are hiding in a wooded area where they're startled as they hear people singing in the distance. It's a beautiful, somewhat ethereal scene as they find themselves surrounded by people dressed in long, flowing white robes. These people are making their way to the river to be baptized. And they're singing the song, Down in the River to Pray. I didn't know that the choir was actually singing that today. You'll actually hear the song later in the service. O brothers, O sisters, O mothers, O fathers, O sinners, let's go down, come on down, down in the river to pray. It's an amazing soundtrack from this movie. If you don't have it, you should download it. The three men follow the singing crowd to the riverbank as the candidates are lining up to be baptized. Delmar and Pete are mysteriously overcome and just rush into the water, leaving Everett standing on the shore. And when Delmar emerges from his baptism, he shouts up to Everett, "The minister told me that all my sins have been washed away, even the sin of stealing that pig for which I was imprisoned." And Everett says, "You told me you didn't steal that pig." And Delmar says, "That was a lie, and that sin has been washed away too." As we remember Jesus' baptism today, our gospel is about another river thousands of miles away in Galilee. Matthew tells us that when Jesus goes to the Jordan and meets his cousin John, John is actually hesitant to be the one to baptize Jesus. He says, "You should be baptizing me." But Jesus insists because it is the proper thing to do. Now, you have to remember that John has been out in this deserted area preaching repentance, and the sign for those who are repentant is baptism. So I think maybe John gets confused by Jesus' request because he knows that Jesus has nothing to be repentant of. So we have to think a little bit about this word that Jesus uses that Matthew translates. It says metanoia. That's the Greek word that we call repent. And it means a couple of things. It means to turn around, to go at a different journey, to turn 180 degrees. But it also may mean transformation. Transformation. Jesus' baptism is this transforming event in ministry. Jesus is beginning something entirely new as he begins the journey from Jerusalem to the cross. And I think if we think about it, there's another transformation that takes place on the river bank. As Jesus enters the waters of baptism, he transforms the meaning, making baptism the entrance of community with him. How we enter into the fellowship of the church. Now, clearly, baptism is a pivotal moment for Jesus. All four Gospels record the event, and it's one of the few things that all four Gospels actually get about Jesus. Through the waters, he receives a new identity and a new purpose. The anointing of the Spirit falls on him to sustain him in his mission and ministry. But for us to understand anything about baptism, what it means for us, we have to view it in light of the incarnation. This thing that we just celebrated on December the 25th, this idea of nativity, of God coming to be one of us. And I think that's the reason the church in her wisdom has put the nativity and the baptism of Jesus so close together, just 2 weeks apart most of the time. Through the waters, he receives this new identity, right? And for us, we also receive new identity. It's through the incarnation that Jesus, the beloved Son, takes flesh from his mother Mary, joining us in our humanity, living an ordinary existence with all the struggles and the frustrating limitations that come with being human. He gets to know joy and sorrow, success and failure, love and fear. Jesus learns firsthand about all of our brokenness, but he also learns about the boundless possibilities that come when we are deeply, deeply connected with God. In Jesus, God saves us by becoming just like us. That's what Emmanuel means. Remember? Emmanuel, God with us, one with us, so that we might become truly human. It's a reminder that every one of us is made in the divine image. So just as Jesus joins humanity in his nativity, he joins every one of us in the waters of baptism. He stands with us in our need to be reoriented, to be transformed, to be made new creations. He joins with us so that we can join with him in the work of transforming the world. So when John baptizes Jesus, it's his starting point, the beginning of his mission and ministry, and it's our starting point too when we enter the waters of baptism. It's the beginning of our lifelong journey of imitating Jesus' way of living in the world and loving the world. We have to only look at Isaiah's vision of what a transformed life looks like. Opening the eyes of the blind, bringing prisoners out of bondage, offering light to the people living in the darkest places of despair and hopelessness. And as we do these things, as we live into this new way of being, of bringing life, generative life to the world, then the former ways of being give way to this new kingdom of God, the kingdom of love and justice, compassion and mercy. I know it sounds like a daunting task, and it is. The church has been in for more than 2,000 years, and we don't have to look very far to find that there's still plenty of work that needs to be done. This morning, Eleanor Jane, Olivia Scott, Richard Riley, and John Thomas will receive the sacrament of baptism. They will come to this beautiful font set in the back of the room, guarded by the Paschal candle, instead of to a river. Clean water will be poured from a silver pitcher rather than murky, dark river water. Instead of being plunged beneath the waters, they will be poured in good Episcopal fashion, barely over the top of their heads, and then wiped away with a piece of linen. But don't let these beautiful surroundings fool you, because the waters these children enter are dangerous waters, transformative waters. They're the waters of their new beginnings. And in these waters, we are going to metaphorically drown them in the death and resurrection of Jesus and raise them up as new creatures, new creations. This is the mystery of Christian baptism, that we are joined with Christ in our baptisms, dying with him and rising with him to a new purpose-filled life. Because in baptism, it's where we find our true identity as the beloved people of God. And God's love, freely given to us, makes us a gifted people. The only thing that God asks is that we become like Jesus, loving freely and extravagantly, giving love away to everyone we meet without exception. And that, my friends, is maybe one of the most challenging things we do as Christians, giving love away. Giving it to people who don't look like us or think like us or believe like us, people who don't even want the good for us. We have to love them too. It's the holy work that we must do if we're going to ever make God's peaceable kingdom a reality. In that movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou?, Delmar struggles to figure out what it means to be a baptized Christian, to live into the discipleship of following Jesus. The three friends continue to get into trouble, but in a scene later in the movie, we see how Delmar is changing. When his other two friends steal an apple pie that's left cooling on a windowsill, Delmar sneaks back and leaves a little money to cover the cost of the pie. So he's starting to understand a little bit about justice and compassion, about how to make the world a bit better. Now, we have some guidelines, some principles that help us understand how we're going to build this kingdom of God, what it will look like. And in a few minutes, we will join Olivia and Eleanor and Riley and John, their parents and godparents, in renewing our baptismal covenant. Promises that we make that are at least the beginning, a starting point of how we are to live like Jesus. We vow to be active participants in a community of faith, following the apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking bread together, praying together. We promise to be diligent in maintaining our relationship with God, and every time we fall into sin, to repent, to return, to proclaim the good news of God's love in Christ in word and deed, action being the primary way in which we show the world what it means to follow Jesus, to find Christ in the face of our neighbors, all of our neighbors, regardless of creed or ethnicity or political alignment. We promise to strive each day to create a path for justice and for peace, where we respect the dignity of every single human being, because every human being is a reflection of the image of God. These promises, they're challenging. They're hard to live into. They require us to be transformed as we engage in the world. And my friends, they are a bit scary. But this is the very reason that Jesus comes to us in the first place, to accept us with all of our brokenness so that we might be in relationship with him and with each other. And it's the reason he went to the Jordan River asking John to immerse him in the waters of new beginnings, because we all have new beginnings. So every year, every first Sunday after the Epiphany, we celebrate Jesus' baptism, not so much to remember his baptism, but to remember ours. To remember that we were once plunged into transformational waters, that we are indeed new creations, and we are called to love just as boldly as Jesus did. It's our calling. It's our identity. It's the reason we've been asked to be the bearers of God's love to the world. Oh, brothers, oh, sisters, let's go down. Let's go down. Come on down. Oh, brothers, oh, sisters, let's go down in the river to pray. So on this baptism day, remember your baptisms, beloved daughters, beloved sons. Amen.